It all stems from one line in Indiana's Constitution.
Article 8, Section 1 of the Indiana Constitution states, in part,
which starts with some 1800s jargon about how it's the General Assembly's responsibility to provide education for students through a public school system. But then,
wherein tuition shall be without charge and equally open to all.
That's Kent Franson reading the Constitution. He's a lawyer in Lebanon and has represented school districts for more than 30 years. He says that one phrase, where tuition shall not be charged, opens up a door to all sorts of fees a school district can charge.
The key issue for our discussion here today is what constitutes tuition, or what does tuition cover?
Compared to other state constitutions, such as West Virginia's, which guarantees a free school system, or Florida's, which mandates high-quality, free public schools, Indiana's constitution is extremely specific about what the state will pay for in public education. You can't charge a general fee, because that is considered tuition, but you can charge for the child's books or their participation in extracurricular activities. IU McKinney School of Law professor Cynthia Baker says this statute has gotten more complicated since the Constitution was written in 1851, when a public school system was a one-room schoolhouse with desks and chalkboards.
Now, you know, schools have not only things like police officers there, a school safety specialist, using dogs trained to detect firearms and illegal substances, you know, media aides, a lot of stuff that go with what we think of now as a public education that certainly weren't at issue in mid-19th century.
But let's move away from the Constitution and the lawyers. What do these fees look like for families?
It's the $70 for the iPad. So $213.31 is the grand total for an eighth graders.
Jackie Chatterton has five kids in the Noblesville School District, ranging from 5th grade to 12th grade.
Our textbook fee bills arrived last week in the mail, one per student, and the grand total is over $1,000 for all five of the girls. The higher the grade level, the higher the bill.
That's on top of other school fees so her kids can be in band, play on the soccer team, and the $300 she spent on school supplies. And because of these high fees, the Chattertons will skip their family vacation this fall. This burden on families is what State Superintendent Glenda Ritz wants to eliminate. The Department of Education submitted its budget earlier this month, and Ritz requested a 3% increase to cover the cost of textbooks for all students. She says the high cost of technology and resources is creating a divide among Indiana schools. With the exception of districts in affluent areas, most classrooms are using outdated materials.
Well, it's all about equity. Students, no matter what school they go to, should have certain resources available to them. And we need to have equity wherever a student might attend.
Right now, the state can only cover a portion of the textbook fees for students who qualify for free and reduced lunch. That 3% bump, which shakes out to around $70 million, would completely cover these kids, as well as families like the Chattertons, who pay out of pocket.
Vocab words, and they're in Spanish, and then we have to translate them and put them.
As three of her girls work on homework using school-issued iPads, workbooks, and hardcover textbooks, all paid for by her and her husband, Chatterton says she thinks the state should be assuming some of the burden for the extra technology and new books.
I definitely think that there are maybe some areas where the state could do better on behalf of public education.
The General Assembly will vote on Ritz's budget this coming session. Previous legislatures, dating back to the 90s, have considered eliminating the fee, changing the definition of textbooks to include digital resources, and putting a limit on rental fees. For State Impact Indiana, I'm Claire McInerney.